speed back for specification.
Dyma
Yeah,
ffôr
well, I
i'r
don't
ffyn.
really
Dyma ffôr i'r ffyn sy'n ei ffyn.
Not really, what he's talking about, duplication of effort and like duplication of effort and stuff, and yeah, he's saying that we should maybe think about having a prototype for week 6, which is next
week.
Yeah. So we should probably prioritize our
packages. Yeah, I'd say if for the prototype features, like wherever possible, chunk in the stuff that we have pre-annotated and stuff. And for the stuff that we don't have pre-annotated, write like a stupid baseline, then we should probably be able to basically, that means we focus on the interface first sort of, so that we take the ready-made parts and just see how we get them work together in the interface the way we want. And then we have a working prototype, and then we can go back and replace pieces either by our own components or by more sophisticated components of our own. So it's probably feasible.
Yeah.
I think I'm away this weekend. So
I mean, if we just want to have some data for the user face, could even be random data.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. Also like the similarity thing, like my matrix itself for my stuff. I think I can do that fairly quickly, but I have the algorithms.
Yeah,
I think today's meeting is really the one where we sort of settle down the data structure, and as soon as we have that, probably like after today's meeting, we then actually need to go back first of all and look at my XML to see how far that which we want is compatible with that which my XML offers us, and then just sort of make sure everyone understands the interface. So I think if today we decide on what data we want to have now, and later maybe even today we go and look at LiteXML, or some of us look at LiteXML in a bit more detail, just trying to make some sense of that code and see how does the representation work in their system. And then sort of with that knowledge we should be able to then say, okay, that type of LiteXML data we want to load into it, and this is how everyone can access it. And then we should be able to go.
Has anyone actually looked at the Java code for
But looked at the documentation and like seen enough to make me think that we want to use the LiteXML framework because they have a good event model that synchronizes sort of the data and every display element, so that takes a lot of work away from us. So that would be a reason for staying within their framework and using their general classes. But beyond that, I haven't looked at it at all, which is something we should really do.
Yeah.
Who actually, like, for this whole discussion, I mean, who of us is doing stuff that is happening online, and who of us is doing stuff that's happening offline? Like, my data is coming.
The basic word importance is offline as well. The combined measure might not be if we want to wait what a user has typed into the search.
Okay.
Mine's going to be mostly using the offline, but the actual stuff it's doing will be online. It won't be very processor intensive or memory intensive.
So basically, apart from the display module, the display stuff, we don't have an extremely high degree of interaction between sort of our modules that create the stuff and the interface. So the interface is mainly, while it's running, just working on data that's just loaded from a file, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know about the search functionality, that might be on the, depends how it's going to work.
Yeah, and the search is, I guess the search is a strange piece anyway, for the search we're leaving the LiteXML framework. But that's still sort of, that's good, it means that at least like we don't have the type of situation where somebody has to do like a billion calculations on data online. Because that would make it a lot more like that. Mean that our interface for the data would have to be a lot more careful about how it performs and everything, and nobody is modifying that data at online time at all, it seems. Nobody is making any changes to the actual data online.
I think so.
So that's actually making it a lot easier. That basically means our browser really is a viewer mostly, which isn't doing much with the data except for sort of selecting a piece of it and displaying it.
Are we we still gonna go for dumping it into the database?
Hmm?
Are we still gonna dump it into the database?
Well, some part relevant for the search, yes. I'd say so.
Because if we are, I reckon we should all read our classes out in the database. It'll be so much easier.
Hmm?
Well, if we're gonna dump the part into the database anyway, we might as well dump all the fields we want into the database, calculate everything from there. So then we don't even have to worry that much about the underlying XML representation. We can just query it.
Yeah, but nobody of us is doing much of searching from the data in the online stage. And for altogether, like the display itself, I think we are easier if it's sitting on the XML than if it's sitting on the SQL stuff. Because if it's sitting on the XML, we have the Knight XML framework with all its functionality for synchronizing through all the different levels whenever there's a change, whenever something's moving forward and stuff, and we can just more or less look at their code, like how their player moves forward and how that moving forward is represented in different windows and stuff. So I think in the actual browser itself, I don't want to sit on the SQL if we can sit on the XML, because sitting on the XML we have so much help. And for like the calculations that we're doing, apart from the search, it seems everyone needs some special representations anyway.
Well, if we're going to do that, we should try and store everything in an XML format as well.
You mean our results?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Knight XML format, so with the timestamps and stuff, so that it's easy to tie together things.
Yeah.
What I'm, like, what you have to think about is if we go with this multi-level idea, like this idea that sort of, if you start with the whole meeting series as one entity, as one thing that you display, as one whole sort of, that then the individual chunks are the individual meetings, whereas, and then you can click on a meeting, and then sort of the meeting is the whole thing, and the chunks are the individual segments. That means sort of we have multiple levels of representation, which we probably, if we do it this way, like we have to discuss that, if we do it this way, then we should probably find some abstraction model so that the interface, in the sense, like, deals with it as if it's the same, so that the interface doesn't really have to worry whether it's a meeting in the whole meeting series or a segment within a meeting, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably stuff that we have to sort of like process twice then, like, for example, that like the summary of a meeting within the whole meeting corpus or meeting series. Is meeting series a good word for that? I don't really know how to call it. You know what I mean? Like, not the whole corpus, but every meeting that has to do with one topic.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So in the meeting series, so that a summary for a meeting within the meeting series is sort of compiled offline by a summary module, and that is separate from a summary of a segment within a meeting. So I don't think we can...
Well, we don't even need to do that, because we got our information density calculated offline, so all we do is treat the whole lot as one massive document. I mean, it's not going to be so big we can't load in a information density for every utterance. I mean, just summarize based on that.
I thought we would just have like one big summary with only different importance levels displayed on it, and depending on what our zoom level is, we just display a part of it.
So are we doing that at all levels? Are we?
And we would have one very big thing offline, and from that we would just select what we are displaying.
And just have different, like, fine-grainedness levels, sort of.
Yes. So, for example, you would give a high value to those sequences you want to display in the meeting series summary.
So the only thing
just cut off.
Yeah. So the only thing that would happen, basically, if I double click, let's say, from the whole meeting series on a single meeting, is that the zoom level changes, like the start and the end position changes and the zoom level changes.
That was what I saw.
I don't think you can do it online.
I thought we couldn't do that. I was under the impression that we couldn't do that because we couldn't load the data for all that. But I don't know, I mean, that.
I don't think there's really much point in doing like that when it's just going to feed off in the end the information density measure, basically, and that's all calculated offline. So all you're really doing is sorting the list. It's the computationally hard part of it.
So I'm not sure if I got it.
Well, like, the idea is we're calculating our information density all offline first for every utterance
mm-hmm.
in the whole corpus,
mm-hmm.
right? So all you do is you say, if you're looking at a series of meetings, you just say, well, our whole document comprises of all these stuck together, and then all you have to do is sort them by information density, like maybe weighted with the search terms.
So
and extract. I don't think it's too slow to do online, to be honest.
I was just worried about the total memory complexity of it, but I really admit, I mean, I just sort of like took that from something that Jonathan once said about not loading everything, but maybe I was just wrong about it.
But I think the difference might be that we would just want to have the words, and that's not so much what he meant with not possibly loading everything was
yeah,
that you
yeah.
load all the annotation stuff, all the sound files, all.
So what we have is we would have a word, like we would have words with some priority levels, and that would basically be iterative, because even the selection, would the summaries automatically feed from just how prioritized an individual word or how prioritized an individual utterance is, or are the summaries sort of refined from that and made by our team to make sentences and stuff, or are they just sort of taking out the words with the highest priority and then the words with the second highest priority?
On the utterance level, I was thinking. So
yeah.
The utterance is the highest, like, mean information.
Are we doing it on the whole thing on the utterance level, or are we doing it on word level, like the information?
Well, the trouble with doing it on the word level is if you want the audio to sync up, you've got no way of getting in and extracting just that word. I mean, it's impossible.
I think we have starting end times for words that could
for every single word.
Yeah, but it might but it might sound crazy in the player. We should really maybe we can do that together at some point today, that we check out how the player works.
I don't think.
But there's maybe some merit in altogether figuring out an utterance level.
I'm getting quite lost at the moment.
So.
Because what's our difference between the importance measure and the skimming? I mean, do we do both, or is it the same thing?
Well, the skimming's going to use the importance.
Okay.
But like at
so
first,
but
it's
when
just
when we
really
talk
awkward.
About summaries, we talk about this about skimming and how.
Well, mostly skimming.
Well, but also about the displays. I mean, the displays in the text body, in the latest draft that we have, sort of we came up with the idea that it isn't displaying utterance, preference, but it's also displaying a summarized version. In you know like below the graph of the card.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it isn't that the skimming. Isn't that the skimming?
Oh yeah, it's just like there's like audio skimming and there's display skimming.
Yeah, but it uses the same data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some merit of going all together for utterance level, not even bother to calculate. I mean, if you have to do it internally, then you can do it, but maybe like not even store the importance levels for individual words and just sort of rank utterances. As a whole.
The nice thing about that is it will automatically be in sentences, well, more or less.
Yeah.
So it'll make more sense if you just extract.
It might be better skimming and less memory required at the same time. And I mean, if you know how to do it for individual words, then you can just, in the worst case, if you can't find anything else, just sort of make the mean of the words over the utterance. You know what I mean?
Not quite. So what did you want to do? You just wanted to assign.
What's the smallest chunk at the moment you're thinking of assigning importance measure to? Is it a word or is it an utterance?
I thought about words.
So we're thinking of like maybe just storing it on a per utterance level. Because it's less stuff to store probably for Dave in the audio playing and for in the display it's probably better if you have whole utterances than I don't know like what it's like if you just take single words out of utterances, it probably doesn't make any sense at all, whereas if you just show important utterances, but the utterance as a whole, it makes more sense. So it doesn't actually make a difference for your algorithm, because it just means that if you're working on a word level, then we just mean it over there.
Yeah, I think we also thought about combining that measure with the measures I get from hotspots and so on.
They are
so that would also be on utterance level.
So that's true then, I think, yeah. That makes it a lot easier than to put it on
that. They need to be calculated at word level though, because otherwise there won't be enough occurrences of the terms to make any.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, like how just mean does it internally? I don't know, but it's probably you probably have to work on word levels for importance. But there should be ways of easily going from a word level to an utterance level.
Yeah, I reckon you can just mean it over a sentence.
But how about those words which don't carry any meaning at all, errors and something like that? Because if we average over a whole utterance of the words, and they are quite unimportant words in there, but quite important words as well. I think we should just disregard them.
Maybe we should have like a cut-off, so if a word only gets a value if it's above a certain threshold. So
okay.
anything that has less than, say, 0.5 importance gets assigned to 0.
Well, we do a pre-filtering of sort of the whole
yeah,
thing, sort of like,
yeah.
but that, like, the problem with that is it's easy to do in the text level, but that would mean it would still play the air in your audio, unless we sort of also store what pieces we cut out for the audio. Yeah. I think before we can, like, answer that specific question, how we deal with that, it's probably good for us to look at what the audio player is capable of doing.
I think we'll have to buffer the audio.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be very hard. I think it'll be like an hour or two's worth.
So what do you mean by buffering? Like, you think
that like just build another WAV file essentially.
Yeah, just concatenate.
Yeah,
it.
I mean,
yeah.
I bet
not, but not store it on the hard disk and then load it in, but load it indirectly from
in
memory.
Yeah. So just like there's bound to be like a media WAV object or something like that, and just
it's
build
probably
one
a
in
stream
memory.
If it exists in Java. Probably some binary stream going somewhere.
I have no idea. They must have like classes for dealing with files, and if it has classes for concatenating files, you can do it in memory.
Okay, so I mean, so that means that there's probably, even if we go on a preference level, there's still some merit on within appearances cutting out stuff which clearly isn't relevant at all, and that maybe also for the audio we have to do. So let's say we play the whole phrase, but then in addition to that, we have some information that says minus that part or something. That's okay, that we can do.
Well, what I think I might try and build is basically a class that you just feed it a linked list of different waveforms. It'll just string them all together with like maybe 1/10 of a second silence in between each one.
Yeah, maybe even, I mean, that's sort of, that depends on how advanced we get. If maybe if you realize that there's massive differences in gain or in something, you can probably just make some simple normalization, but that really depends on how much time we have and how much is necessary. Yeah, I don't know anything about audio. I've never seen the player. So if you find that the player accepts some input from memory, if it's easy to do, then I guess that's fairly doable. So, but that means in the general structure, we're actually quite lucky. So we load into memory for the whole series of meetings, just the utterances and rankings for the utterances, and some information probably that says, well, I guess that's good for the utterance, who's speaking.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Because then we can also do the display about who's speaking.
We also really want to be able to search by who's speaking as well.
Yeah. But I'm still confused because I thought like that's just what Jonathan said that we can't do, like load a massive document of that size.
But it doesn't
yeah.
matter because all the calculations are done offline.
The other one, I mean, it shouldn't be, like, should be like 50 megabytes in RAM or something. It shouldn't be massive. Just thinking, what's this so we do get an error message with the project if we load everything into the project with all the data they load. So we know that doesn't work. So our hope is essentially that we load less into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's this lazy loading thing? Somebody explain lazy loading.
It just means it loads on demand. It only loads when it needs a particular type of file, like when it's being accessed.
Okay. So that is that only by type of file? Like if the same thing is in different files, would it then maybe, like, you know, if utterances are split over 3 or 10 or 100 different files, is then the chance maybe that it doesn't try to load them all into memory at the same time, but just.
Yeah, I think that's the idea, it just loads the particular
so
ones.
So why is it failing in the first place? Then it shouldn't ever fail, because then it should never...
But if you were doing a search over the whole corpus, you'd have to
load
them all.
Yeah, but it fails right when you load it, right?
Yes.
In that experiment, so that's interesting.
Hmm.
So there's a different baseline in what it loads. For example, it loads all the utterances and so on, but it doesn't load the discourse acts and, for example, not the, what else was there? Not the summaries. It only loads those on demand.
Let's check that out. I'll probably ask Jonathan about it. So alternatively, if we realize that we can't do the whole thing in one go, we could probably just process some sort of metadata, you know what I mean, like sort of for the whole series, chunks representing the individual meetings, something that represents the whole series in a structure very similar to the structure in which we represent individual meetings, but the data sort of always combined from the whole series. So instead of having a single utterance that we display, it'd probably be like that would be representing a whole topic, a segment in a meeting. And sort of so that using the same data.
You mean that you basically split up the big thing into different summaries? For
but
example, that you have a very top level summary and a separate file for each.
I'm thinking in the sense of like creating a virtual meeting out of the whole meeting series, sort of.
That's easy, you just like create a new XML document.
Yeah, sort of like offline create a virtual meeting which basically treats the meeting series as if it was a meeting and treats the individual meetings within the series as if they were segments and treats the individual segments within meetings as if they were utterances, you know, so just like we shifted one level up.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way we could probably use the same algorithm and just like make like one or two ifs that say, okay, if you are on whole document, whole series level and that was a double click, then don't just go into that segment but load a new file or something like that. But in general use the same algorithm. That would be an alternative if you can't actually load the whole thing in. Because also like even if we maybe this whole like maybe I'm worrying too much about the whole series in one thing displayed, because actually I mean probably users wouldn't view that one too often.
I don't think it's really that much of a problem, because if it's too big, what we can do is just, well, all the offline stuff doesn't really matter, and all we can do is just process a bit at a time. Like for summarization, say we wanted 100 utterances in the summary, just look at the meeting, take the top 100 utterances in each other meeting. If it scores higher than the ones already in the summary so far, just replace them, and then you only have to process one meeting at a time.
Yeah, but I'm still worried, like for example for the display, if you want to display like for the whole series the information density levels based on and the only granularity you have is individual utterances, that means you have to go through every single utterance in a series of 70 hours
okay,
of meeting.
So maybe we should build and store a mean measure for the segments
yeah.
and meetings as well.
Yeah, and if you make that structurally very similar to the one level down, like the way how we store individual utterances and stuff, then maybe we can more or less use the same code and just make a few ifs and stuff. So in general we're having utterances and they have a score. And that's as much as we really need. And they also have a time information, of course.
Speaker.
Hmm?
speaker and
information, yeah.
Topic segmenting. We need as well.
Yeah, so an information which topic they are in, yeah.
Yeah.
And probably separate to that an information about the different topics, like that. Yeah. So the skimming can work on that? The skimming just sort of sorts the utterances and puts as many in as it
well,
needs.
Well, yeah, it'll preserve the order when it's displayed, though.
Yeah, it'll play them in some order in which they were set, because otherwise it's going to be more entertaining. But that's enough data for the skimming.
Yeah.
And the searching leaves the whole framework, goes to the SQL database, and gets, like basically in the end gets just a time marker for where that is, like that utterance that we're concerned with. And then we have to find, I'm sure there's some way in that XML to just say set position to that time marker, and then it shifts the whole frame and it alerts every single element of the display and the display updates.
Yeah, you can also want to do a little tree display as well for multiple results.
So if in that pre-display somebody clicks on something,
you just need to find the timestamp.
Yeah, and then you sort of feed the timestamp to the NAT XML central manager, and that central manager alerts everything that's there, like alerts the skim, like the audio display, alerts the text display, alerts the visual display, and says we have a new time frame, and then they all sort of do the update routines with respect to the current level of zoom, so how much they display, and starting position at where they're, or maybe the mid position of it. I don't know, like if you start where the thing was found, or if that thing was found is in the middle of the part that we display, that I don't know, but that we can decide about. But in general, sort of, it's the same thing if, like, whether you play and it moves forward, or whether you jump to a position through search, it's essentially, for all the window handling, it's the same event.
Yeah.
It's only that the event gets triggered by the search routine, which sort of puts it into an iText and then says, please go there now.
So we should basically make our own XML document in memory that everyone's module changes that rather than the underlying data, and then have that XML document tied to the interface.
Why do we have to do memory?
Well, you can make it in the file if you want.
I mean, like, the information is coming from offline. So, we don't even have to change the utterance document, right? Because the whole way, like, the whole beauty of the NatXML is that it ties together lots of different files. We can just create an additional XML file which for every utterance, like, the utterances have IDs, I presume, some references.
Mm-hmm.
So we just,
yes.
We tie just a very short XML file, which is the only information it has, whatever, a number for the weight for the information density. We just tie that to the existing utterances and tie them to the existing speaker changes.
But there's no ID for an utterance, I think. It's just individual words. So how do we do that now?
No, it's for
utterances as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just for one.
Yeah,
well,
I think there's segments for each utterance are split up.
Yeah.
Looks like.
Well, otherwise we'd probably have to go over and like add some integer that we just increment from top to bottom, sort of to every utterance as an ID standard. Or try to understand how NatXML IDs work, and maybe there's some special rules we have to follow when we use these IDs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's already there.
Hmm?
Pretty sure that's already there, though. Utterance is not numbered.
Yeah, the girl said the utterance is just not numbered at the moment.
I'm not quite sure. I have only seen that the individual words have got an ID.
So I guess that would be solvable.
Yeah. You always could have a look at the timestamps and then take the ones that belong together to form an utterance.
No, I think we would just take the segments that are already.
Yeah, if they are already
there.
Yeah,
there's the segments file. And you know, the XML segments.
Instead of what on
the
that's
just so, like, to make a list of all the stuff I went for, and somebody can do it on paper. All these fancy things. So the stuff we have utterances and speakers and weights for utterances, for every utterance, sort of like the utterance has a speaker and a weight which is coming from outside, or which is tied to it, and there is segments, which...
They are utterances, aren't they?
Hmm?
The segments are utterances.
That's the question I get.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, that's...
Topic segments, I meant, like, they're a super unit, so, so the utterances are tied to topic segments. And if the timestamps are on a word level, then we somehow have to extract timestamps for utterances where they start.
There are timestamps for the segments.
What segments now?
Segments is, for example, when you look at the data, what is displayed in one line.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you
is that the same as utterances then?
Hmm?
Is that the same as utterances then?
Well, it's close enough,
so.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They may not be exact every time.
I compared it with what I did for the pause duration extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's words that are uttered in a sequence without pauses, but sometimes However, there are short pauses in it, and they're indicated by square brackets pause.
So that's but that's one segment, or is that 2 segments then?
The annotators decided what was one segment and what wasn't.
Okay, so but generally utterances is that which we just called, segments is that which we just called utterances now. I guess it's sort of like one person's contribution at a time sort of needing.
Okay,
so yeah, so we have those, and then we have some field somewhere else which has topics.
Topics.
And the topics basically they're just an ID, probably with a start time or something, and the utterance is referenced to those topics, I guess.
Yeah.
So the topics don't contain any redundant thing of like showing the whole topic again, but they just sort of say a number and where they start and where they finish, and the utterances then say which topic they belong to.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think for some annotations, an utterance can have several types. For example, for the dialogue acts and so on.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking of the topic segmentation now, and for that there would only be one, right? Because it's sort of like it's just a time window. So if this lazy loading works, and this should definitely fit into, I mean, not memory then, because it wouldn't all be memory at the same time. So if you just have sort of that information, like the long list of all the utterances slash segments, and like shorter, smaller lists which give weight to them. And even though probably if there's a lot of overhead in having two different files, you can probably merge the weights into it offline. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a lot of bureaucracy involved with having two different trees and where the one ties to the other because the one has the weight for the other, then it's probably quicker to just...
Well, why don't we just write it as a new XML file? Can Knight handle just loading arbitrary new like attributes and stuff? I mean, I would have thought they'd make it able to.
Yeah, I thought that was the whole beauty, that like you can just make a new XML file and sort of tie that to the other end. And
so why do we need to have two XML trees in one?
Oh, yeah, so no, I didn't mean tree, no. I meant just like handling two different files internally. Sort of. I was just thinking, you know, like if the overhead for having the same amount of data coming from two files instead of from one file is massive, then it would probably be for us easy to just like offline put the weight into the file that has the segments, segments slash utterances already. But that we can figure out and if it's gonna run this long.
The other thing is that would really be using their parser as well, which means you wouldn't have to parse anything, which would be quite nice. Because their parser is going much faster than anything you come up with anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we'd be completely using like the whole infrastructure. Basically just, I mean, the main difference really between our project and theirs really is that we load a different part of the data, but otherwise we're doing it the same way that they are doing it. So we're sort of running different types of queries on it. In a sense, I think we are running queries. It's not just about what we load and what we don't load, but we are running queries in the sense that we dynamically select by weights, don't we? I think we have to check how fast that is, like to say, give us all the ones that, whether that works with their query language, whether that's too many results, and whether we should. No, because if their query language is strange and if it would return 10 million results and it can't handle it, then we can just write our individual components in the way that they know what the threshold is. So they still get all the data, and just they internally say, oh no, this is less than 3 and I'm not going to display it or something.
Yeah, I mean, we can process it in chunks if it gets too big, basically.
Mm.
We can just process it all in chunks.
Yeah, no.
If it gets too big to load into memory.
I'm just thinking for this whole thing of like a different level, sort of cutting out different pieces, whether we do that through a query where we say, give us everything that's above this and this weight, or whether we keep the same infrastructure, but every individual module, like the player and the display, say, like they still get sort of all the different utterances, all the different pieces, but they say, oh, this piece I leave out because it's below the current threshold level.
I think we probably want to store, I think we probably want to store a hierarchical information density as well, so like the information density score for each meeting and each topic segment, because otherwise we'll be recalculating the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, that'd be much more efficient to do that.
And that will obviously make it much easier this way.
When do we meet the one for the meet?
Well, maybe not for the whole meeting, but like.
Yeah, I guess for the, so when we have to display, when we display the whole series, then if we have for the individual topic segments within the meetings, if we have ready calculator measures, then we don't have to sort of extract that data from the individual utterances. Yeah, and that's also fairly easy to store along with our segments, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the segments, are we extracting some type of title for them that we craft with some fancy algorithm or manually? Are we just taking the single most highly valued keyword utterance for the segment heading?
Well, we can start off like that. Well, I was going to start off, I've got sort of halfway through inventing one that does just IDF.
Mm.
And then just I can change that to work on whatever.
It's probably like in the end, probably it wouldn't be the best thing if it's just the most highly ranked phrase or keyword, because like for example for an introduction that would most definitely not be anything that has any title anywhere similar to introduction.
And it should be weighted by stuff like the hotspots and the keywords and search and stuff like that.
Also like for this part, maybe if we go over with an identity in the end, if one of the people doing DIL has some named entity code to spare, and just like at least for finding topics, titles for segments, just take a named entity which has a really high, what's it called, DFIDF, whatever. Because you'd probably be quite likely if they're talking about a conference or a person that that would be a named entity which is very highly frequent in that.
Did you not say something about named entities? I thought he said there wasn't very many.
Yeah, he said they're quite sparse, so that basically was don't bother basing too much of your general calculation on it, but like, especially if they're sparse, probably individual named entities which describe what a segment is about would probably be quite good. Like, if there's some name of some conference, they could probably say that name of the conference quite often. I mean, but he's right that they make indirect references to it. Yes.
You said you're currently implementing the IDF.
Yeah.
What exactly are you?
It's not TFIDF, it's just inverse document frequency. Because it's really easy to build, basically.
Okay.
There's just like for a baseline, really.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do that in Java, yeah?
Well, I'm halfway through. It's
yeah.
not working yet, but it will be.
So you're doing that on a per word level?
Yeah. And then averaging it over the utterances. But it's not like related to the corpus at all, it's just working on an arbitrary text file at the moment.
Okay, I was just wondering what the ethical question
at the
moment.
No.
So it seems that the data structure isn't a big problem, and that basically we don't have to have all these massive discussions of how we exactly interact with the data structure, because most of our work isn't done with the data structure in memory in the browser, but it's just done offline and everyone can represent it any way they want as long as they sort of store it in a useful XML representation in the end. So
it would be useful to know how everyone can restore their things though.
Mm.
Yeah, that would mean understanding the XML sort of formatted in a lot more detail. I think we should just have a long session in a good room together, like now that we know a bit more what we want, take a closer look.
Yeah.
At
well, I've got like a few hours free.
Yeah, I've had a look at the topic segments, how it's stored, and then, there's a few per meeting, and it gives a timestamp, and inside each one there's the actual utterance segments, and the list of them, and they're all numbered. So that's how that's stored.
Yeah, I haven't looked at this stuff much at all.
Yeah, so I guess if I'm going to be segmenting it with a LCSeg, then that's the same format I'd want to get back out in, so it'd be equivalent.
Who's sort of doing the central coordination of the browser application now, like?
Well, like the integration.
Hmm?
Did you mean the integration?
Yeah, but also like all these elements, like the loading and integration and
mm-hmm.
like handling the data loading and stuff.
I don't know, I don't think anyone's been allocated to do that yet.
I'm sort of like, I think I'll take over the display just because I started with a bit and found it doable.
Yeah, definitely.
So, somebody should sort of be the one person who's who understands most about what's centrally going on with the project, like with the browser as a whole and where the data comes in and
It's a most boring task.
It's also complicated.
Yeah,
yeah.
It could be difficult, yeah.
I know, I guess we can do it like several people together. It's probably just there if people have to work together a lot and very closely and just make sure that they always understand what the other one's doing.
Yeah. Well, I guess the important thing is to get the crucial modules built.
Or at least
you know,
simple versions of them.
Yeah,
yeah,
or ready made versions of them for that matter. And
yeah, and then we'll maybe have to prioritize somebody into integrating it.
Yeah, but I think actually, like, at the moment the integration comes first, I mean, sort of at the moment the building the browser comes first, and then only comes the creating new sophisticated data chunks, because that's sort of the whole thing about having a prototype system, which is more or less working on chunk data, but it, at least we have the framework in which we can then test everything and look at everything, because before we have that, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to really see how much the work that they're doing is making sense, because it just, well, I guess you can see something from the data that you have in your individual XML files that you create, but it would be nice to have some basic system which just displays some stuff.
So maybe we should try doing something really simple, like just displaying the whole meeting and like just being able to scroll through it or something like that.
Or just adapt, like that, like
yeah.
Just sort of go from their system and adapt it piece for piece and see how we could arrange, like, adapt that to our system. Does anyone want to like to sit with me and like play for 3 hours with Night XML at some point?
Are you free after this?
I wouldn't like to be. I'd like to go to the gym. I'm theoretically free, but if there's any time.
Oh, Friday then. So I'm off all Friday.
You have nothing, no Friday free time on Wednesday?
Wednesday I've got mine until 12.
9 to 12 and then nothing. You have
yeah, nothing in the afternoon.
Hmm?
I've got nothing in the afternoon. So.
Anytime Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, so yeah. What about just in Appleton Tower?
Yeah, or Forest Hill, whatever one's easy to discuss stuff. I don't know.
I'll be in
the
Appleton Tower one anyway.
Okay. What time do you want to do?
Well, I'll be there from 12. I've got some other stuff that needs done on that lab, so if you're not there at 12, I can just work on that.
Okay, so I'll just meet you in 18 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I guess at the moment nobody critically depends on like the Night XML stuff working right now, right? Like at the moment you can all do the stuff and I can do my LSA stuff. And I can even do the display to a vast degree without actually having this blind framework working. So it's not that crucial.
Yeah.
I would need the raw text pretty soon because I have to find out how I have to put the segments into bins.
Yeah, I need the raw text as well. Yeah, I was more thinking of the sort of the whole browser framework as a running program now.
So
yeah, I think we all need the raw text in different flavors, don't we?
Yeah, Yasmin, I thought you said that you'd looked at extracting the text.
Yes, I did. But I've only just got the notes. I have to still have to order everything by the time.
Yeah. So
and
you said you did it in Python, right?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy.
Yeah, did you use the XML parser in Python?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, because I was having a look at it as well, and I noticed the speakers are all in a separate file. So did you have to combine them all and then reorder them?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Just combine them and then order the timestamps accordingly.
Yeah, so that's the approach. And, well, I'm just going to do so. Yeah, we may as well collaborate.
Okay. What I found out was that there are quite a lot of things without timestamps And the beginning.
And the word files.
Yes,
Excel
but
files, yeah, that's just an ID or something, like
yeah,
just
everything
numbers.
that's a word has a timestamp.
Yes, but what are the other things? That's some kind of number, maybe the file number or something that is in the beginning. What is that?
I'm not sure
what
you mean.
I think there are quite a lot of numbers in the beginning when there's no timestamp for the numbers. It's, I think they say quite a lot of numbers, and before that there's this number.
Number within the XML context.
Yeah, numbers in the W tag, but there are no timestamps.
Are they spoken numbers? Like, do they look like they're utterances?
Yeah.
Numbers? There's the number task, isn't there?
That's
part of the whole
end.
Thing.
Hmm?
That's at the end, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, in the beginning as well, sometimes, I think.
Alright.
At least that's also.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we have to probably cut that out anyway from our project. I don't know. It's probably going to screw up a lot of our data otherwise. Not sure if it would, it does.
I think it wouldn't, as it occurs. I mean, it would be. It occurs in every meeting, so.
It would probably make the. Yeah, if you have segments for that, probably.
And I think it even has its own annotation, like digits or something, so that should be really easy to.
I was just thinking, like,
yeah.
probably like the LSA would perform quite well, and it would probably find another number task quite easily.
Yeah,
and showing vocabulary with a high co-occurrence of the same 9 words. So
but
like
what is it actually that numbers?
Hmm?
It's just to test the system, I think.
Okay, so but they are not timestamps.
I think it's also something that they set the numbers in order, right?
They have to read numbers.
Yeah, I think it sounded like they wanted to check out how well they were doing with overlapping and stuff. Because basically it's like they're reading them at different speeds, but you know in which order they are set.
I didn't have a look at that, so.
Dixie has some reasons for doing it. And that's what I'm pissed off saying, like, numbers at the end of every reading.
And also, there are different combinations of letters, BRE and something like that. Is it everything ordered? Are the timestamps global or are they local? Endpoint.
I thought they were local to a particular meeting.
Okay.
Dave, or actually for Chesmin's goal, if you're doing IDFs or whatever you call your frequencies or mix up the name, you need some dictionary for that at some point, but like you need to have some representation of a word as not that specific occurrence of the word token, but of a given word form, because you may
yeah.
account for word
I'm just
form,
building
right?
a dictionary.
Yeah, so we should work together on that, because I need a dictionary as well.
Oh, well, I was just going to use the hashmap one in Java, because I'm only going to do it in small documents. It's just like until the information density is up and running, just saying to give me something to work with.
Didn't you say that?
Because I only going to use quite small documents, isn't it, to start with.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering for the whole thing. Somebody, who was it of you two who said that there's some program which spits out a dictionary, probably with frequencies?
Yeah, it's Rainbow. It's I think it's just dictionary in the first place. But
is anyone of you for the document frequency or total frequency? You gonna have total frequencies of words then with that, right? Like over the whole corpus sort of.
No, I have to bin it up. And so we'll only count for each thing.
Why does it need to be classified into like different segments?
It's because Rainbow is a text classification system. And I think it's not possible to have just one class. That's the problem.
Can we just fill a second class of junk that we don't care about?
Maybe we could.
Like, I don't know, copies of Shakespeare or something.
Yeah, sure we could do that, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Because if all we're looking for is the frequency statistics, I don't see how that would be changed by the classification.
If we need just frequencies, maybe we should just calculate them by using L or something. Yeah.
Well, there may be another tool available.
Yeah, it's quite easy to just count and sort
yeah.
them by frequency.
Using which tool are you talking about?
Just using a Perl script.
be careful with that. Like, my experience with the British National Corpus was that there's
Is
far
it
more
too big?
word types than you ever think, because anything that's sort of unusual generally is a new word type, like any typo or any strange thing where they put two words together, and also any number is a word type of its own, so you can easily end up with 100,000s of words where you didn't expect them. So generally dictionaries can grow bigger than you think they do.
I don't know how many terms you can handle in play.
Well, you could probably also pre-filter like with regular expressions. You can just say if it consists of only digits, then skip it. Or even if it consists of any special characters, then skip it, because it's probably something with a dot in between, which is usually not something you want to happen.
I can't remember who's got it. It might be WordNet, but one of these big corpses has a list of stop words you can download, and they're just basically lists of really uninteresting, boring words that we could filter out before we do that. It's
yeah.
like that's one of the papers I read, that's one of the things they did right at the beginning, is they've got this big stop list and they just ignore all of those.
Well, I did for my project, I just ignored the 100 most frequent words, which they actually end up all being articles and everything. So we need, like, several of us need a dictionary. Am I the only one who needs
yeah,
the frequencies?
Yeah, it would be useful for me as well.
Am I the only one who needs the frequencies? Or
I think that would be useful for me as well.
Frequencies?
Yeah.
Well, I guess as soon as we have the raw text, we can probably just start with a Java hash map and, like,
yeah.
just hash map over it and see how far we get. I mean, you can probably, on a machine with a few hundred megabyte RAM, you can go quite far. You can run it on beefy, so even if it goes wrong, even if it doesn't mean anything.
Look into getting some subset of the XE corpus off the dice machines. So I hate working on dice, it's awful. Like, so I can use my own machine.
Oh, you're burning it on a. Like, we should be able to burn the whole corpus.
Where has a CD?
Ah, yeah, I spoke about this 2 days ago. In the informatics building, in Appleton Tower 5, the ones closest. Two machines closest to the support office, so I presume. Oh wait, I have the exact email. I think he's talking
yeah.
about sort of the ones that.
The right hand corner. Far.
Yeah, if you enter the big room in the right hand corner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, you can only burn from the local file system, so if it's from. Well, actually, I think if it's mounted, you can directly burn from there, but the problem is I have my data on VPN, so I have to get it into the local temp directory and burn it from there, but you can burn from there.
How big is it without.
Oh, we looked
the
it up and
WAV files.
We looked it up and I forgot.
Because I could just set it going over SCP one night and just leave it going all night if I had to.
Yeah, we should be able to get it. I don't think it was gigabyte.
Because the wave data will obviously not make it.
See, I would offer you to get it on this one and then like copy it. Well, you know what I figured out? I'm quicker downloading over broadband, like,
really?
And then using this hard
right.
disk. There's something strange about the way how they access the hard disk, how they mount it, which is unfortunate.
I'll see if I can SCP it, I suppose.
What operating system do you have?
I've got a Linux box and a Windows box.
What connection do you have at home?
Cool.
Yeah. So if any one of us gets it, we can then just use
burn
like
to CD.
Hmm?
I can if I
yeah,
can
burn it to CD or
CD.
Yeah, put it on. The question is if you're not quicker, because you should get massive compression out of that, like 50% or something with a good algorithm. So if you could compress it and just put it into a temp directory.
I'm not sure if there's enough space, because how much do you get?
The temps usually have a gigabyte free of
really?
The temps, yeah. There's no guarantee that anything stays there, but overnight it will stay. And I think the temps usually have. But that would have to be the temp directory of the machine you can SSH into directly off SSH.
Yeah, but I can do it from that session, can't I? I can compress it from a remote session and SCP it in the same session.
Yeah, they probably hate you for doing it, but they'd like you more if you SSH it into another computer, compress it there and then sort of copied into the gateway machine.
Do you think?
They have, if you SSH, you know, if you SSH in there, this big warning about doing nothing,
yeah.
It all indicates your
I
machine.
don't know, I was thinking of SSHing just into some machine.
Yeah.
And then just SCBing it from there.
To your home machine.
Yeah. I mean, it has to go through the gateway.
I haven't figured out how to tunnel through the gateway into another
machine.
Can you not
do
yet.
That?
It's not easy, definitely. That's why I end up sort of copying stuff into the temp directory at the gateway machine. Sorry if this is boring everybody else, but this is just details and how to get stuff home. Well, so we can probably just look at that together when we're meeting.
Okay, I just wondered, so who's then doing the frequencies on the words? Because I could also make use of it for the agreement and disagreement thing, because in my outline I talked about using the discourse acts first,
mm-hmm.
and then in the chunks of text I found looking for word patterns and so on. So I would, for example, need the most frequent words.
Well,
so if you cut off all that, it wouldn't be.
As soon as somebody gives me the raw text of the whole thing, I can probably just implement like a 5-line Java hash table frequency dictionary builder.
Yeah, but I need it for my chunks. Then I would. You know.
But did you not say frequencies of words in the whole thing?
Yeah, but I would like to look at the frequency of words in my in the regions of text I found out to be interesting. So I wouldn't need it. It would have to be recalculated only for my segment.
Yeah.
But first, how big are the chunks?
Huh?
How big are the chunks you're looking at?
I think it would be. No, as big as the hotspot annotation.
So quite small then.
That's quite small, yeah.
So
that's
you could just
some utterances.
You could use just the same thing we used to build the big dictionary. You just do that online, because that wouldn't take long to build a little dictionary that big, would it? I mean, just use the same tool.
Yes. Yeah. So I would probably just concatenate all my.
Yeah.
Text chunks and then let the same algorithm run over it.
Well, you don't want to have different counts for each chunk, but just like sort of for something from all chunks.
Yes.
Oh yeah, no, that's, yeah, so once I write an arg, like if I write like an algorithm which does a hash table dictionary with frequency from a raw text, then the raw text can be anything. So how far are we, how far are you getting the raw text out of it, Jimmy?
I can get all the raw text, but it has to be ordered still. So.
Okay, well that's good, because for the dictionary the order goes to be different. So yeah, so I'll get that from you and I'll write a hash table which goes over that and creates a dictionary file. So for the dictionary, is it okay if I do whatever word blank frequency or something? Just could everybody sort of start from that? I mean, I guess.
Well, that's it. Are you using TF-IDF for the information density?
It's in what is implemented in Rainbow is information gain, and I'm not quite sure how they calculate that.
Right, because frequency would be useful, I think.
Yeah,
but,
I need frequency as well.
Depending on the context, the size, and what we consider a document in the sense of calculating TF-IDF is going to change, which might need thinking about.
I think we might have a lot in common what we calculate, because I, for my latent semantic analysis, need like counts of words within a document, within a segment, actually, within a topic segment.
Oh, that's what Rainbow does, I think. You can just get probabilities for certain words for each document.
So then I convert these probabilities back to mean frequencies.
We'll have to look at that.
So that's what Rainbow does, because that's what LSA builds on. Like it builds
mm-hmm.
a document by frequency matrix. So I can probably get that. Even though I already have my code to build it up myself now before I have my code. Yeah, so Dave, you said he needs the frequency counts actually
I think it would be useful, yeah.
per document, you say, not for the whole
Well,
thing.
you need the raw frequency as well, but you also need how many times things occur within each document. And what we consider a document is going to depend on our context, I think. So if we're looking at a whole lot of meetings, we'll consider each meeting a document in sort of terms of this algorithm. And if we're viewing, like, say, just a small topic section, you might look at even each utterance as a small document.
It more and more appears to me that if we scrap the notion of the meeting as an individual thing, and sort of see meetings as topic segments, and have sort of like hierarchical topic segmentation instead, then if like
yeah,
more
the thing
clear
is,
framework.
So it needs some thought of how. Actually, maybe it doesn't actually matter. Maybe if you just do it once at the highest level, it'll be fine. But I was just thinking it might be difficult to calculate the TF, IDF offline for all the different levels we might want. So if we're going to allow disjoint segments, for example, and how are we going to know what's going to be in context at any given time? Well, I suppose if you just did it globally, treating the meeting as a document, it'd probably still be work out fine, because you'd only be comparing to ones within the context.
Are we using this for the weighting in the end now, this measure you're calculating?
I don't know, I thought we can use that in the end. The information base.
Because if we're doing, I think for the information density, we should calculate it on the lowest level, not on the highest.
Oh, sorry, that's what I mean. Like, for each word or whatever, but across the whole lot, is what I mean by highest level, across the whole corpus.
Yeah, but don't you have to like go sort of like for in the document versus the whole thing? Isn't that how it works? That you look.
Yeah, but you'd probably look at each meeting as a document.
I don't think that's a good idea, because isn't it like that we expect it to change over with the different topic segments more? That they're talking about something different in each different topic segment.
Possibly.
Because that's what relative term frequency is about, that like in some context they're talking more about a certain word than in general. So that would more be the topic segments then.
And that's what I thought as well, that probably the topic segment level is the most informative in the words.
Yeah. Are they big enough to get anything in?
Yeah, that's
well,
the problem, I don't know.
I'm just wondering if there's ways to abandon the whole concept of meetings and sort of which is not really treating separate meetings as too much of a separate entity.
Well, yeah, it's not an issue, you just concatenate an XML file together, but we still want to have like a notion of meetings for the user.
Yes, definitely.
But on an algorithmic level, whether there's some way to just represent meetings as
yeah,
topics.
Sure. Yeah, you just like whatever you want to look at, you just jam together into an XML file, and that's your meeting, even though bits of it may have come from all over the place or whatever. I mean, I don't see why that's really a big problem.
That's not really what I meant, but I think I have to think more about what I meant.
So basically what you're saying is you can take an arbitrary amount of data and process it with the same algorithm. It doesn't matter conceptually what that data is. It could be a meeting, it could be two utterances, it could be
yeah.
a meeting plus half a meeting from somewhere else.
I'm not so concerned about a meeting plus something else. I'm more talking about like yeah, keeping the same algorithm and the same way of handling it and just saying like just this topic here happens to be like a whole meeting and it has sort of subtopics, such as the sort of topics hierarchical concept. Where like topic where there can be super topics and topics and the super topics are in the end what the meetings are, when in general some level super topics are treated like topics.
I don't think it's very difficult though. I mean, what you do is you just build an XML file, and if you wanted to get down to the utterances, you'd go into the leaves, and then if you wanted the next level up, you'd go to the parents of those, and like just go from like the leaves inwards towards the branch to build up things like, you know, when you click on a segment, it's going to have like words or whatever that are important. As long as like the algorithms are designed with it in mind, I don't think it's very big problem.
So sorry, describe that again.
Well, like say you had like say for a meeting, right? You've got like say a hierarchy that looks quite big like this, and like the utterances come off of here maybe. When whatever your algorithm is doing, as long as when you're working with utterances, you go for all the leaves, like, then if you need something next up, so like a topic segment, you go to here. But if you were looking at, say, this one, so it only went like this, right, so you, the same, you'd start with the leaves, and you go, oh, I want a topic segment, so I go one layer up. See? And then if you're working with just a topic segment there, it's the only thing you have to worry about. And like each time you want a higher level, you just need to go up the tree. As long as your algorithm respects that, then we can just process any arbitrary XML file with whatever hierarchy structure you want.
So that would be the series as a whole, that would be sort of
a meeting, say,
meetings,
in that big
yeah.
topic segment.
I'm a bit brain damaged at the moment, but I think I'll just sit together with you again and go through it again.
So I think as long as you build an algorithm that respects whatever structure's in the file, rather than imposing its own structure.
So is this and this structurally then always identical?
Well, no, it doesn't
so that
have
we can
to be.
That we can treat it with the same algorithm or?
But I mean, it could be as many nodes as you want. This one could be deeper maybe. So then you start with all your utterances here, and when you go up to get topic segments, you go to here, 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 here. That might be a bit confusing though, because you have things on different levels.
Yeah, I'm also not sure how we can go from bottom up now, or sort of like more that
probably this is all too complicated for me.
Is there anything else we should discuss?
Nah, have we decided anything that we're doing?
Well, Wednesday.
Wednesday we are meeting and looking at their implementation in some more detail to understand what's going on.
So we'll see if we can get like a mini browser that just displays two things synced together.
Yes, two things from their stuff just
yeah.
to make sure that we understand enough to modify it.
Yeah, should we not have like a group directory or something where we can put all our code in? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it'd be useful. I don't know who you see about that.
Yeah, how would we do that? By just making like a read write for everyone. Okay, who has most free space on there?
I've probably got a reasonable amount because everything on my Dice account can actually be deleted because I store it all at home as well.
Well, alternatively, we can probably just make another directory on the beefy scratch space. That's where I'm having gigabytes and gigabytes of stuff at the moment.
Is that guaranteed to stay there?
No. No.
Yeah, we can ask Steve if we can get space.
Yeah.
Maybe we should send a support form.
Yeah.
But I think if
just
he sends
lots of
I think if he sends support, he'd probably be
listening to
better position. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he had to deal with it last year.
Yeah. Cause that'd be really useful, is if we had a big directory, especially for transferring stuff. Having said that, are we allowed to take a copy of the XC board for us? Something we should probably ask before we do that.
I think you said yes to that, I think that was like in, when we were still in the seminar room, I asked it once, or like asked, is it possible to get off, and nobody said, like, people were discussing about the technical practicalities, but nobody said anything about it being allowed or not allowed. I mean, we have access to it here, and I guess it probably means that we can't give it to anybody else, but
Okay.
But if they give us access to it here, sitting on a dice machine, then there shouldn't be a reason why we shouldn't be able to use it on a laptop. I personally don't have too many friends who would be too keen on getting it anyway.
No.
I have this really decided pirate copy. Annotated meeting data.
So shall we sit together tomorrow and then this one?
Yeah.
Yasmin, what is the text you're extracting looking like then at the end?
What would be best? At the moment it's
because
just
I think it's actually very similar to what I did for my speaker extraction, and I think I would perhaps have to change two lines of code to get you for each meeting a file that says from this millisecond to this millisecond there was this sequence of words and so on. So that's just changing two lines of code, and it would give you that. So.
Okay. So you do you extract the words, the raw text as well?
Yeah. So far, I extracted the durations, but it's from the words file, so I could just concatenate the words instead of the durations, and it should. And should be very straightforward. I can try to do it and send it to you.
Okay.
And you have a look at it while it makes sense for what you want.
Okay. So we already extracted from all the files?
Yeah, I mean, I just let it run over all the files. So.
Did you also order?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where
I just ordered.
Sorry. Yeah.
I ordered according to the starting times of the utterances.
What I just realized, we should really keep different series completely separate for virtually all purposes. Just have to be careful about that because.
What do you mean?
Like the ICSI corpus isn't one meeting series, it's several meeting series with different people meeting for completely different things.
Yeah, I mean I have one, what I give you would be one file for each meeting.
For each meeting?
Yeah, not for each meeting series.
Okay,
I
but
didn't
like
do that
let's
yet.
Just be careful that whatever will sort of be merged together, that like at the highest level of merging is not the whole ICSI corpus but individual series.
Yeah, one, yeah.
Might be funny to see what it summarised the whole corpus.
I think
it'd be very useful.
It's probably somewhere like well or something like that. I think we might just get away with for the whole project just like looking at only one series and just doing within one series. I mean, you can do everything you want in one series.
Yeah, I mean, there's one series that has just one meeting.
Oh, yeah. Is the data always clearly split up by different series? So like
yes.
It's easy to just pick one.
The data is of the form you have three identification letters, so B, E, D, or B, B, D, or something, and that's always the same group. And then after that, there's a number like 001, 002. So
at every level, everyone has to be careful to really just take, even at the highest level, just take stuff from one series and not merge stuff from different series
yeah,
together.
That's
they would probably get majorly messy.
Easy to see.
Yeah, so like, if even if you make one single text file which has the whole corpus, sort of our corpus, it will still be from one series only. But what you're producing at the moment is like individual text files that sort of have the raw text for a whole meeting as a whole.
Yes, but I mean, as the start times, start for each meeting at 0, you could just probably just add the final second time to the next meeting, and so on, just put it all together. And then we would have to change the information about who, on which channel it was said, to by which person it was said, and that is actually stored in another XML document.
So is anybody creating a real raw text thing at the moment, like which is just the words?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to.
Yeah,
but then just not print out the start and end times.
But if there aren't, like, so is start and end times just for the file, like is it just the first and the last line, or is it for every single thing?
No, it's for every single word.
Just
for every single utterance, yeah, that depends on.
So what do you mean by just not print out that?
I do it with Perl, it's just string manipulation, so I would just.
If you're into it, can you make a text file which just like makes just the words?
Sure.
Do you want it straight flowing? Because I would need something that marks the end of is your segment by topic standard? Like, is there any information that you have to the topic, to the automatic document?
No, I don't
use
so. No.
Oh, then I need something different later anyway. Okay, but for now, if you.
That's what MLC said also, it marks the end of the segment.
You've got to put that as an output of yours, the segmentation. Okay, so for now, can you create like sort of just a dump, which is pure text, just pure text, so that I can get a dictionary, and you can work on that for your topic segmentation?
Yeah.
And
you would want that all in one file for all the corpus?
For the series. But I can also deal with separate files. I mean, I can just write the algorithm that loads all the files in a directory or something. But I mean,
yeah, I can directly put it.
So if you can put it in one single mega file, that would be quite useful for me.
So only words per meeting series.
Even though for you, wouldn't it be easier if you had different files? Because then you sort of know, like.
Yeah, for me it's better to find.
So give me different files, as long as like if you could name them in a way that it's easy to enumerate over them, like whatever 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or something.
Yes.
Just anything that I can.
Yeah, they will just I will just take I would take over the names I have anyway.
Yeah, is it something that's easily like to enumerate over? Is it some
yeah.
ordered pattern? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
One series has the same 3 starting letters. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So only words and words and times. And
no, I don't need the times. I just need the words, but
right.
Yeah, you
yeah,
want it
right
ordered.
Order, yes.
Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Orders.
Ordered by start times. Yeah, and do you want? Yeah, sometimes they are contained in one another, so.
Yeah, it doesn't matter too much.
Just
I
after.
Think.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think you'll have like a primitive segmentation by some ready-made topic segmentation by some ready-made tool ready?
I mean, that'll be really easy to do once you've got the raw text. Just a case of running the script.
Okay, cool. So I need that when it's done.
Yeah, and hopefully this week.
And I think for all the corpus, it's just from what I know from my times, it's 9 megabyte.
Mm-hmm.
To have. I mean, it should be similar
exactly.
to
that's
the words.
What's 1 megabyte?
All the words together for all the meetings.
Mm.
That sounds quite reasonable. There's 9
that's
characters.
What I'm guessing, that's,
over
you know, what I. Because 9 megabyte is what I got for. When I say for every utterance, this
okay.
goes from there to there. And
okay. That is yes. for. Are we thinking one particular series at the moment, or?
We could.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing it for all. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you can probably process the data for all different series and then check which series is the best for the presentation. It sounds quite reasonable, 9 megabyte. I mean, if you think if it's roughly a million words and 9 characters
yeah,
per word sound.
I hope it will be the same for the words. It's just just with that.
Yes, I'm gonna build a dictionary then from that. Like, just a list of the words and maybe a list of the words with the frequencies, or a list of the words sorted alphabetically or numerically. What does anyone want? Is there any wishes for dictionaries?
I could just use it with the frequency, I think. Until the information density thing's finished, that would be really useful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll create a dictionary.
So I'll probably send just one file of the first meeting to all those who need it, so that you can have a look whether
and
it's what you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual file we can probably like copy from your own directory or something like that.
Yeah, I mean if it's just for one meeting, it's probably not too big.
Yeah, but I'm saying for the whole thing at the end.
Yeah.
Big thing. We probably shouldn't do that. Yeah.
How long would it take to make the frequency counts? The job actually.
From the time I get the file, I can do that in the afternoon, the next sort of the next morning.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean how long processing time it takes?
No, how long you would have to program something.
It's box size that I've written. I've written it for DIL just in half an hour or something similar. It's just you put it in a hash table and. And say, well, if it exists already in the hash table, then you increase the count by one. And I'd probably implement some filter for filtering out numbers or something.
Because it's quite easy in Perl, so it's just a line of code for counting all the words.
And really?
Yeah, it's just by hashes.
Okay, well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if anyone wants to do a Perl script for that, that does it. That'd be nice, dude. I have no problem with that, but I think I have the Java code virtually ready, because Padilla wrote something very similar. Padilla wrote something that counts the different occurrences for the text.
If you're doing it in Java, could you serialize the output as well as writing it to a file?
Sorry?
If you're doing it in Java, could you serialize
the hash table?
Yeah, as well as writing it to a file.
I've never serialized it.
Really easy.
Wouldn't that be absolutely massive?
I don't see why it'd be any more massive than the file.
And then and then write the serialization to a file.
Yeah.
So you want like a file which is the serialization of a
file. It just saves you passing the file representation of it in now, because I'd be using it in Java anyway. So I'd just be building the data structure again.
I'll check if I understand how it works. I mean, otherwise I can give you the code for loading a dictionary. It's a line break separated.
Yeah, it seems like a bit silly to be passing it over and over again, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if I understand how to serialize. There's a serialized command that gives me 1 mega.
I would have thought that, I think all the collections and things implement serializable already.
Yeah, but do they automatically write to the file? Anyway, I think
they might do.
Yes. That's pretty much it. So they can we look at how Night XML works, and
tonight I'll try and I'll either work some more on the TF-IDF summarizer or do the audio thing.
I'll build a dictionary as soon as I get the text. When do we have to meet again then?
Don't know, I suppose we're just getting on with our components. So.
How are we going to do a demonstrating next week?
Do we have to demonstrate something next week?
What do we have to demonstrate?
No, not demonstrate, but like, didn't you say that? Or didn't we sort of agree that it would be useful to have a demonstrator or like some primitive thing working again?
Yeah, it suggested that we could have an initial prototype.
It's going to be very prototype.
I'd be surprised if we can get anything working by next week.
Now, let's go. So. I feel like hanging with air and not really like finding a point where you can get your teeth into and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It's also fuzzy, but yeah.
I think it's because we had to specify it ourselves, that it's not as like focused a specification of most work.
Yeah, but at the moment, but at the moment it's also an implementation level, like with the data structure, and just like all of these vague ideas of some truth.
Once we start doing it, it will become more or less obvious, I think, anyway.
Yeah. It's just we are halfway through the project time, but this one just freaks me out.
Yes. What time is it?
22.
I haven't, no, that was the baseline system. I don't know if that's machine learning. I've done 4 years of AI staying clear of machine learning, which is quite a feat in itself. I've done everything else. I've done every form of computational linguistics, genetic algorithms, neural networks, like just
neural networks, machine learning.
Yeah, but like nothing that has rules. Like I don't like rules in any aspect of life, and I don't like them in code either. So, which is really bad now, because now I'm even embarrassed to ask about all this stuff because it's so basic, but I've never worked in a system that learns from rules. That's because
so
they started me with prologue, and that made me hate anything that's in symbolic level.
Did you have to do automated reasoning?
No, I didn't. Like, I was staying clear of it.
Cheers.